Welcome to another edition of Lex Talk History, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Now, here's your hosts, Lexington History Museum Executive Director Mandy Higgins and WUKY's own Alan Lytle.
Hello again, Mandy.
Hi, Alan.
Here it is, January already, new year, 2026. A lot of great stuff going on at the museum.
Yeah, so we've made it. We survived 250. We thrived through 250 for Lexington. And now we turn our eyes to 2026, which is also America 250.
I found out it is the semi-quinquennial.
There you go, the semi-quin. You know, it won't be quite as exciting as Lexington's 250 because...
How could it be?
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Who, America. Lexington.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is, you know, it's a big year. So the museum's been great. We had a great wrap up to the end of the year. Some really nice visits from folks. And we're really excited for January and February in 2026. You can come when we're open Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays and view our traveling exhibit, Driftwood, The Life of Harlan Hubbard. Harlan Hubbard was an artist who grew up in my area.
Your neck
in
of the woods.
Northern Kentucky.
Yes.
Though at this point, Lexingtonian.
Oh yeah.
And was kind of a everyman in a lot of ways. He was a beautiful painter and did a lot of river portraits and landscapes. And so we have 10 really beautiful exhibit pieces that are on display now through March in the museum. And then on March 5th, we'll have a Lex Talk with the curator of the exhibit. And she also wrote the book on Harlan's life. Her name is Jessica Whitehead, and she's from Louisville and wonderful. And a 250 legacy that's staying in the museum this year. We will be open on President's Day from about 10 to 2 with children's activities. That will be a free day, and that is made possible by Traditional Bank.
Oh, wow.
So we are thrilled to continue this, making the museum accessible, particularly on days when schools may or may not be closed. We'll see what's happening with the weather. But making sure that kids have an opportunity to experience the museum and to do so for free. So we're really excited about it.
Terrific educational opportunity right there.
Yes.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, this Harlan Hubbard exhibit, I remember seeing a documentary on him. I think it was on KET. And, you know, this guy was someone who lived under the radar before there was actually a term of living under a radar.
Yeah, sort of off the grid.
Off the grid.
He and his wife created this really lovely homestead called Payne's Hollow, which is near Falls of the Rough, like that area of Louisville. Still there. You can still, the Payne Hollow Historical Society is maintaining it. Jessica, when she comes and talks, will talk a little bit about her work with Payne Hollow as well. And the traveling exhibit itself is actually sponsored by the Payne Hollow Historical Society. This exhibit started as an installation at the Filson Historical Society. So it was designed by one of the Filson staff, Brooks Vessel, who is really incredible. And that installed piece moves around a little bit. So it's been at the Portland Museum. It's been in Northern Kentucky. I believe it's going to Ashland next. So if you come and see the traveling exhibit with us and then you want to get kind of deeper into Harlan Hubbard's life, you can travel around the state and see him, see what has been done in that exhibit and see his work. Again, really beautiful river pieces and landscapes and just kind of bringing his life together in as a nature advocate and an artist. We're very excited to have it.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and it's going to be on display for some time, and you have time to get down to the museum. What are the regular hours?
Yes, you can come Thursdays or Fridays, 12 to 4, Saturdays, 10 to 4. If you have a school group or a large group or a not-so-large group, but a group nonetheless, please give us a call. We'd love to schedule a tour for you and open. Those tours are available Monday through Saturday.
Oh, that's terrific. And now I think I'm getting this little feeling of deja vu, because this is the ultimate crossover episode today with Lex Get Into It. Mm-hmm. And folks will know as soon as we introduce our guest for today.
Yeah, so it's 2026. It's a big year, as we said. And we thought, why not start the year off with a little bit of nonpartisan excitement?
Is there such a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Civics is good.
Yes.
We are joined today by Liza Holland of the League of Women Voters. And before Liza starts speaking, I'm going to give you a little broad national level history of the League of Women Voters, because I think I know for myself, it was not until really graduate school that I understood the League of Women Voters as anything other than those people who try to get you to register to vote.
Yes.
So the League itself is, as I said, nonpartisan, and then their bylaws, both their local and their national bylaws, do not allow the endorsement of candidates or parties. So we just want to put that out there right at the beginning.
Nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan.
Yes.
The League was founded in 1920, but its roots are in the suffrage movement. So it is the successor of the National American Women's Suffrage Association. And those are your ladies that you know from the 19th Amendment. So Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Laura Clay for a little bit, and then she sort of went away. That's a different podcast. Madeline McDowell Breckinridge, women like that. And the initial goals were to put the 19th Amendment into action. So to educate women on the political process, bring them into it, and advocate for legislation important to women as that first vote became available to white women across the United States. And they did it in lots of different ways and were interested in a lot of different things over the course of the more than 100 years of their existence. Today, and Liza will tell us more about this in Lexington, but today they host candidate debates, they do voter registration, as we talked about, civic health, other ways of being a part of the community. And importantly, I think, because this is Lex Talk history, the Lexington chapter began in January 1920, basically the week that Governor Morrow signed Kentucky's ratification of the 19th Amendment.
Ooh, that's great.
Which is incredible. So we're sitting here at 105 years, six. It's 2026, Alan.
Oh, I got to get with the calendar here. Yeah, you're right.
106 years of the League of Women Voters in Lexington. And of course, because as everyone knows, I love Madge Breckinridge. Just want to give a big shout out to Madge as an early leader in making sure that Lexington was a place where the League had a home. And today, our guest, Liza Holland, who's the president of the League of Women Voters in Lexington, has the honor of continuing Madge's legacy.
That is such an exciting thing, and what an incredible introduction. I definitely am standing on the shoulders of greatness.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Liza, and about the work you do with the League?
Absolutely. I am the Chief Curiosity Officer for Better Questions for Brighter Futures, really leaning into the durable skills and the thinking skills that our students and employees need moving to the future, especially in the age of AI. But I have been involved really deeply in the community on a volunteer basis for a really long time, and got to spend some time overseas and to see other types of systems and whatnot. And so when I came back to the States, I felt like I really wanted to do something for democracy. And speaking of being on the shoulders of greatness, Cindy Heine, who's done lots and lots of work in this area for years and years, recruited me to be the candidate forum chair. And I did that happily for 7 or 8 years until they knocked on my door and said, Liza, would you step up to be president? So that happened almost 2 years ago now. And so we're really looking to kind of rise to the occasion because we do feel that democracy is under threat right now. And so we're doing a lot of partnership work. We are engaging in the nonpartisan efforts. We decided that No Kings qualified for that because really we're looking at transparency in government and making sure that our leaders are held accountable in some way, shape, or form. So we have expanded to, we have a committee called Global Lex that is really addressing our immigrant community and trying to be supportive in any way that we can as far as the, you know, the work with ICE and so that people know their rights. And we're looking very much with Voting Matters, actually, with Alan, at putting...
Are you going to plug our podcast?
I'm like being shameless here.
You are.
Yes, we're really focusing in on civic education there. So really letting people know what government does and how it works and how they can get involved and why it matters.
That's exactly what we need in a voting year, all years, but particularly in a voting year. Can you tell us a little bit more about that civic engagement? Like, where can we expect to run into somebody from the League?
Honestly, you will find the League anywhere, and please invite us to come because we are we show up and our volunteers are really good about tabling at all kinds of different events. And as you mentioned, you know, one of our core ideas is to be able to get people registered to vote and then also make sure that they are informed about the whole process and so they feel confident enough to be able to go out and vote. So yeah, you'll see us at lots of different community events. We work with city government a lot and so they invite us to come out to things, partner a lot with Civic Lex, so you'll see us at almost all their events. And please feel free to invite us if you've got an event going on that we ought to be there for.
So it's the League of Women Voters.
Yes.
Is it only women in the League?
No. We have evolved, but we feel very strongly about the founding. And so we want to give that nod to the suffragettes. And so we stay the League of Women Voters, but we are open to all people. We actually have several men on our board, and including a student from UK. So, yeah, everybody is invited. Anybody who believes in democracy, we would love to have you get involved and volunteer.
That's incredible. And you mentioned partnerships. Mm-hmm. So one of those partnerships that is happening now, to shamelessly plug the Lexington History Museum, is the Stand With Her Story project that the League has taken on in partnership with the museum. So tell our listeners a little bit about this project and where the idea came from.
Well, the project is to gather community stories, particularly about the women who are making an impact, be they small or large, in our community, because history has not been kind to women's stories. We've been underrepresented for a really long time. And so we felt this might be a way to overrepresent just a little bit. It came because we were recipients of a grant from the Breaking the Bronze Ceiling group, who actually over fundraised just a little bit for the beautiful monument downtown, The Stand. And so they gave us a little money to be able to support our work. But I felt that wouldn't it be neat if we could find something that we could do with the intent of the donors and to lift women up, which is also a part of our mission. And so I called Mandy and said, I have this crazy idea. and luckily, she was on board. And so we've had this amazing partnership. And the thing that comes to me really is that all these stories are going to be cataloged and will live in perpetuity at the museum. So I'm hoping that we're going to have more people through the doors. You know, the current location is fairly new. And I talked to a bunch of people that are like, I haven't been there. I said, well, you need to go. And so I'm hoping that people will come in, be able to type in their nominee and see that, yes, you're living history. Whether it's a six-year-old saying, my mom is the absolute best, or all the way up to Isabel Yates is an icon and everything in between. So we really encourage everybody to participate. We have extended the deadline to February the 15th. So, because it's a little more intimidating than you think to sit down and honor someone in this way, especially in 250 words or less.
We are so excited to have the fruition of this in the museum. And so when we met, the first idea was sort of like, we'll have a day. It'll be sort of ephemeral and it'll just be this thing. And having this longer iteration of being able to talk about what it means to be recorded in history and how we're able to collect these stories. It's going to be really exciting for the museum and for the city. And I think, you know, coming back to the roots, right, that somebody, I've said already, I do love Madge Breckenridge, but she wasn't doing any of this work by herself.
Right.
We just know her story because her husband happened to publish a newspaper and she was a Breckenridge and she was a McDowell, right? Like, those are big names. But there were lots of women working alongside
her
that maybe we don't have those recorded names. And so having this opportunity for folks to acknowledge people in their own lives or people that have impacted them throughout the community allows the museum to be able to tell that broader story, which is a big part of what we want to do, is being able to tell as many of Lexington's stories as possible.
You know, I really love, even the submissions that have come in so far are so diverse, and, you know, people are making a huge difference in their own little ways and impacting their communities or their organizations or any of those types of things. And it's just really exciting to be able to see that kind of call out. And we hope to kind of, every single person that is nominated will be in this database. So it is a quantity versus quality sort of a thing. It's not another award. Everybody and multiple entries are welcome. But we hope to also see if there are some interesting stories that we might want to kind of investigate a little bit further. So the team that we have, I'm really excited about the organizing team that we have. And we're going to be looking at doing that and maybe doing some neat videos and storytelling and history making.
That's right. That's right. Can you tell us a little, without, you know, names, the types of stories we're getting? What are you hearing so far?
I am. It's really interesting. You know, I mean, everybody has a little bit of a different perspective on this. And one of the things that came up was we had a person who was submitting that wanted to nominate a group of women because she could not decide. And we talked about, well, you know, you can nominate them individually, but the power in that particular group, in this case, Black Yarn, mm-hmm. was such that we as a group decided that, yes, if you want to nominate a group that's making a huge impact, that's okay too, because those are those rich stories. But we've had, you know, personal stories, we've had just friendship stories, we've had family stories. It's really been across the board, which is exactly what our intention was. So I'm excited about that.
Do you anticipate that these stories will only be women supporting women, or are we hoping for something larger than that?
Oh, everybody. All you men out there, that the women are the ones that support you in your lives, please stop and think about honoring them in this way. That would be absolutely awesome. And, you know, friends, I think to some extent, women have worked under the radar a lot, you know, and they don't look to clamor for credit or anything. And so us recognizing that really does make a difference. I think about the women in Iceland who went on strike for a day and it literally shut down the entirety of the island. And so, you know, you appreciate your women out there.
So we're collecting these. You have until February 15th, and we'll make sure that the link and the form is available within the podcast page. What else is happening with this? What's happening in March?
Ah, yes. Well, since we have such a wonderful long list, I hope it's even longer, of submissions, we are going to hold an event down at the stand. to celebrate Women's History Month and International Women's Day. And we're going to read all of the names of the people who have been submitted. So I think it's just going to be a really neat opportunity to just show the volumes of women that have made an impact on people. And so we're going to do that. And then, of course, once the display gets in, we'll do some sort of a fun fest at the museum to be able to celebrate that installation.
We're really looking forward to having that piece of not only in March to be able to acknowledge and say those say publicly the names of folks who were who have been included. It's because it's not an award. It's
right.
Not a nomination.
It's submission, I guess.
It's submitted.
Yes.
but then also to have that permanency within the museum. So deadline is February 15th, but that's just sort of for the March event and for this year. Do you anticipate this being something that continues?
Absolutely. Our hope is that this will be an annual event that we'll be able to do, you know, highlight different types of things. We'll get creative and do some different things with it. But the basic project, we're hoping to be able to continue in perpetuity.
That's incredible. From the museum perspective, we're so excited about this to be able to, as you said, to sort of be able to mine for some of these lesser known stories or pieces of a known story that humanize someone who's been sort of put on a pedestal or maybe somebody who is really decently known in their time, but has moved because time keeps marching away from us, has maybe not been given the flowers recently that they deserve. When we first started talking, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about folks that were already in the collection mm-hmm. at the Lexington History Museum and the ways that we could bring some of that out. The other thing that's so exciting about this for me is the reminder to Lexingtonians
yes.
that their history, their individual history, matters to how we see the city. And so as you're nominating these folks, people, think about, like, do you have something, a physical item that helps make that story real? Mm. Is it... I know I looked at the list. There's a nominee who is in my life, and they're incredible and very artistic. And so having a piece related to their medium would help us be able to, you know, if that's someone that was picked to be to build a broader narrative around, if we had that kind of piece, then you have something physical that folks can see when they look at it or that can be used to help tell that story. So as you're thinking about who you're going to nominate, and you may not have that, I totally understand. But if you do, keep that in the back of your mind, because we may be calling. And as you're thinking about that for your own life, like this is a little bit off topic, but I think it's important. I get asked a lot about what is history or mm-hmm. what is historic? How do we, you know, and people are calling me and they're like, I have a rock from 1807. Cool.
Yeah.
It is cool. Also, I'm going to get, like, go call the Webb Museum because they do rocks.
There you go.
But... they don't often think about things from the 60s or the 70s or the 1990s or the 2000s that are at this point historical, right? Oh, I'm just going to give that to Goodwill or yeah. That's just trash. That's just junk. Except that everything we have in our museum at one point could have been someone's, I don't want like your junk, but it could have been things that someone would have said, that's not important.
Right.
But it helps us tell about these individual things. So I've been joking since I took this job that I want like a ticket stub to the Backstreet Boys at Rupp Arena, oh. right? That very millennial experience.
Yes.
Very Lexington.
Exactly.
Or things like right now on display, we have pieces associated with the 2012 UK men's basketball team. Well, we were all there. Right? Like that was our lives, but it is also historic. And so for these to bring this back around to what we're talking about, it is those everyday folks who today are making sure that your kids are fed at lunch, or who check on you when you're ill, or who just show up and are that person to you in the world, and what and how that could be. It could be a picture that you have that shows that, or a note, or a gift, or all, any kind of thing, and that makes it real.
Yeah.
And having this exercise now, in the moment, means that we're going to catch some things that probably would have slipped through historians 30 years from now trying to rebuild the narrative because it wasn't in the paper.
Right.
Or they didn't leave, you know, they didn't think they were all that important, so they threw their journals away, or they, all of our pictures are digital, and so we lose our phone and the picture's gone, or whatever it may be. This is a chance to sort of bring that back in.
Well, and it's so exciting to me too, because unfortunately local journalism has been cut and cut and cut, and so we are not hearing those local stories the way that we once did. Mm-hmm. And so this is an opportunity for us to kind of crowdsource those super special moments in time. I know one of my nominees is a very good friend that I've had ever since our daughters were in 4 years old in dance class. And she recruited me to get into PTA. Hmm. And ever since, we have teamed up at different levels for different events, all those types of things. And she really set me on my volunteer journey as an adult. And to me, that has been some of the most enriching time that I have spent in my whole life. And actually now I have completely kind of changed my business model to be able to live in that space of where education is so important. So she really impacted my life by making an initial invitation and then sticking with me through thick and thin for a lot of impact for kids.
It's incredible. And we're hopefully, you know, we're getting stories like that every day in these nominations. And so being able to speak their names into the world and be able to have that database in a cultural institution whose job it is to maintain these things means that hopefully more people will be inspired and will have a chance to see that their everyday makes those sorts of impacts.
Absolutely. We all need a little lift up right now, don't we?
We do. Is there anything else you want to share with us about the league or things going on right now that our listeners might be interested in knowing?
I think that before we close out Stand With Her Story, I would let everybody know that lwvlexington.com/her story. is where you can go to be able to see some videos from the organizers and who they're thinking about nominating. The opportunity, the link is right there to the form to be able to fill out. It's real short and easy, but you can also upload like pictures or, articles or something like that might enhance this nomination. But we really encourage you. We're also putting flyers up all over the place with little QR codes and everything. So please take a look at that. Take a look for that in social media and share if you can.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us. We're so excited for this. And we will, of course, plug it again and make sure everyone knows. But February 15th is the deadline for this year's nominations. Please join us at the stand on March 8th in the afternoon and be on the lookout in the summer or fall for that display in the museum.
Yeah, I have a question. Can people come to the museum and fill out the paperwork as well? Or we're sending everybody to the website?
We are sending everyone to the website. Okay. But if you come to the museum and think about it, the QR code is there.
Any way that we can lift up the women in our lives, what better opportunity than this right here?
Exactly.
Yeah, you think about it. Well, Liza, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I think we'll probably see you in that booth a week from today or something like that.
So, something like that.
Yeah, we'll be continuing with the Voting Matters podcast. And of course, Mandy and I continue to represent the Lexington History Museum. So, you know, we're coming to a phone near you, folks. You just might as well just get after it and download and do what we ask you to do.
Smash that subscribe button, right? I apparently turned 40 and decided I was 90.
I'm still trying to figure out this 6-7
thing.
God. I mean,
man.
I'm not supposed to know.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
that's right.
This is just kind of code. It's code for them, and that's fine. We'll just deal with it. I don't feel left out in the least.
I don't, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not groovy, man.
It's not. I mean, to be very 90s, it is uncool.
Oh, gag me with a spoon.
It's not the bee's knees.
Not the bee's knees. But what has been the bee's knees is this particular podcast.
Absolutely.
And so we circle back around some of the great stuff that's happening at the museum again for now and into February.
Through the end of March, Driftwood, The Life of Harlan Hubbard will be on display. February 16th is President's Day. It will be a free day at the museum from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thank you to Traditional Bank for being a kind and giving supporter of the museum. On March 5th at 6:30 p.m., Jessica Whitehead, who is the curator and author of Driftwood, The Life of Harlan Hubbard, will be with us for Lex Talks. And, of course, you can visit Thursdays and Fridays, 12 to 4, and Saturdays, 10 to 4, or by appointment. We would love to have you.
And Liza, one more time, if somebody wants more information about the Lexington League of Women Voters, where do they go?
Oh, yes. LWVLexington.com. And especially make sure to add your stories. You can click through on the homepage or do /her story.
The big takeaway is stand with her story. Get those nominations in. You won't regret it, really.
Absolutely. Oh, and guess what? I actually lined up our podcast already. February, join us. Steve Fan from Camp Nelson National Monument and Dr. Amy Taylor from the University of Kentucky History Department will be joining us to discuss the United States Colored Troops and their Lexingtonians who are part of the USCT, as well as a partnership that Camp Nelson, Dr. Taylor's students and the museum have undertaken, and we're so excited, and I'm glad to have them.
Yes, and Amy wrote a tremendous book
on
Camp Nelson, and everybody should go get that as well.
Yeah, and, you know, to prepare, go see Steve at Camp Nelson and visit.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's your assignment. Stand with your story and prepare for Camp Nelson in depth in the next podcast. Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you next month on Lex Talk History.
You've been listening to Lex Talk History, a monthly podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, or download Lex Talk History from the podcast page at WUKY.org. And if you haven't done so already, please make plans to visit the Lexington History Museum soon. Get started on your tour at lexhistory.org.